The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning and welcome to all our friends and visitors. Welcome to everyone who's joining us in person and to all those who are joining us online. It is good to be here together, and together we will experience God in word and sacrament and in the presence of each other. Today begins our journey through Lent, and we begin with the words printed in our bulletin. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down and he will build us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live before him. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord.
His appearance is as sure as dawn.
I invite everyone who can stand to stand now, knowing that if you cannot stand, the church stands with and for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You may be seated. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Brought them to the promised land.
Guide us now so that following your Son, we may walk safely through the wilderness of this world toward the life you alone can give. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. We now invite our children forward for a children's message, but we know that they're all on, have other activities this week going on, and they're out of town, so welcome, my children. So good so many of you are here. So good that you didn't sleep through the clock like I almost did. You never know on this Sunday whether or not you're going to meet everyone at the fellowship hour or beforehand, so thank you for the sacrifice. But a question for our children today of heart and in age: if something really great has happened to you and at the same time you encounter your friend who has something terrible going on in their life, Do you shout how great your life is?
No.
Right? Because you're kind of sympathetic. Well, today we start Lent, and we're building a tradition with Lent with our children and with ourselves. We continue a tradition important to our church, and we no longer say a certain word. And that word is, and we get to say it today and today only, Alleluia. And this word means praise. This first part is Allah, means praise. And the Uya means God's name. So we praise God. We always praise God, but in Lent, we want to focus our hearts and minds on the sacrifice of Christ, and on what he goes through for our sake. So for Lent, we no longer say this word. And so we're having a tradition where we are going to take these words, and if I can get all the tape off without tearing it, I get points. And if I only tear it three times, I get extra points. But we take our words and we put them away and we know that Christ was buried in the tomb for 3 days, so we take our Alleluias and we bury them away. And this year I got a little tombstone for us. It says, "Here lies Alleluia. Set aside but soon to grow, an Eastern morning with voices bright, Alleluia will take its flight." So for now, we do the other ritual, which is where we hide this. And I know Pete will see where I'm hiding this, so if they go missing, I know it will be you. But in all seriousness, friends, this is a time for us to remember what God has done for us and the extent of what love is for us. So let us pray. On the count of three, we'll bring our hands together. One, two, three. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for what Jesus did.
Thank you for what Jesus did.
Amen.
Good morning. Our first reading is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 26. Hear now the word. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God: "A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number. And there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power, and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God, and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm this morning is taken from Psalm 91. It's in the bulletin, page 4, 5. Please read it with me. I'll read the plain text, and if you will please read the bold text. You who dwell in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty,
you will say to the Lord, my refuge and my stronghold, my God in whom I put my trust.
Because you have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your habitation,
no evil will befall you, nor shall affliction come near your dwelling.
For God will give the angels charge over you to guard you in all your ways.
Upon their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.
You will tread upon the lion cub and the viper. You will trample down the lion and the serpent.
I will deliver those who cling to me. I will uphold them because they know my name.
They will call me and I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them.
With long life I will satisfy them and show them my salvation.
Our second reading is from the letter to the Romans, chapter 10. Hear now the word. The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is, the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart, and so is justified. And one confesses with the mouth, and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
According to Luke, the 4th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all their authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him up to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
One of the things I learned while working in the prison was that despite its appearance, there was a certain honesty about working there. Because, you see, you never quite know who you really are in the face of trials and adversity until you face them. And there's no one walking in or out who wasn't about to face a lot. And so you would see the new recruits come in, and they thought very highly of themselves, that they could handle pressure, think calmly, nothing fazed them. And then eventually the test would come. And unlike a lot of trials we do and we experience in daily life, where no one but ourselves is the witness, and even we can deceive ourselves, everything was more or less up on Front Street in the prison. Cameras everywhere, witnesses everywhere, gossip everywhere. Whatever happened, there was no hiding. And you got a very clear look into who you truly were. And I know it's a trope, but you learn the good, the bad, and the ugly. And as painful as those moments are, though, that revealing also has an opportunity of grace attached to it. Because perhaps you don't particularly like that person you just saw in the mirror. Well, that's okay. Training, trials, personal improvement, you can change. And in Lent, this is our refrain: return to the Lord. If in the course of these 40 days you find out that there's an element of you that you don't particularly like, that is okay. There is grace and mercy here. There is a chance of being forgiven in the love of God. And as we are renewed, there's always the chance to do better. Sometimes it's the testing that shows you who you truly are. It reveals to you what you want to change. And I could use 1,001 examples of this, but just to close it out, you know, I haven't been surfing in a month or so because of the storms, but I've spent that time on dry land, training and training and training. But the only true tester is the wave. And the other day I got back out, and I, despite what I thought, I indeed was a little rusty. But again, that's okay, because now you know, now you can improve. And so we get Jesus in the wilderness for our first Sunday in Lent. And to properly understand this story and properly to understand Lent is to understand that Jesus in the wilderness is now our symbol for the next 40 days of what we can encounter. Because you never know unless you face the temptation, the test. There's no virtue without adversity. There's no growth without friction. And so we perhaps have taken up a discipline to test that, to see if we are not even to see, but to draw us closer to God, so that we can look in a mirror and we can see who we are. And that is the question today in our temptation story. Who are you? But more importantly, whose are you? Whose identity are you? Are you, on the one hand, the sum total of all your thoughts, words, and deeds, and possessions? Are you whatever your desire tells you you are? Or are you indeed truly a child of God, whose presence of God is as close to your, as close to you as your own breath, your own heartbeat? God is there in you. That is who you really are. And so as our temptation unfolds, Jesus goes into the wilderness, and it has been pointed out that the three temptations revolve around the three, as Father Keating says, power centers of human desire or human need. The need for security, the need for esteem, and the need for control. And as we see as the child grows and is born, how these properly develop. You know, when the child she faces her first fear, and that fear is pure separation. The fear is not being with mother anymore. And so to comfort the child, we wrap child in blankets, we give teddy bear to child. And maybe we don't realize this, but these become symbols of security. Symbols, we would say, indeed, I would say, as I always say, the child grows up in a symbolic world. And of course, the child doesn't realize it's a symbol, just like we, as we grow up, also don't recognize all the symbols in our world. But we never cease to live in a symbolic world. And when the child is secured with the symbol before her, has security, then the parent begins to instill into the child self-esteem. The child knows that she is loved, that she is valued, that she has worth. And when those two things are accomplished, then the child becomes, now I want to be independent. And despite the frustration of the moment, perhaps all these parents in the rural room can remember this symbolic moment when your child decided that they wanted to dress themselves. They now wanted some control. You see, these are all good things. They are not bad things. It's part of human need as we grow up, we need to learn to have security, to have esteem, and to have control. But the problem is, we assume these needs are our identity. We say, I am these things. And you see how it works? We put away the childish symbols of our life. Teddy bear gets tucked away, the blanket gets folded. But then we find new symbols. A new car, a new job, a new prestige, a new name. And then we start judging ourselves by the things we possess, the things we've done, or adversely, the things that we don't have. I'm worthless because I don't have these things. And all these things, whether we have them or we don't have them, become this sense of false identity that we share. It's not truly a false identity, it is the identity we share with each other. But is it not indeed who you truly are? On Ash Wednesday, we put ashes on our head and we said, to dust you are, and to dust you will return. And all these things in this life that we identify us as our identity, they all return to dust, my friends. All this identity system is indeed just future dust. But your true self, as Paul says, is kept hidden in Christ. Who you truly are is never far beyond the where God is. This God knows your true self. And so the paradox of the spiritual journey is the paradox is that as we become closer to God and we get to learn who God is, we learn who we are. And that is the temptation of Jesus in the desert, in a nutshell. You see, all the questions start with the question of identity. If you are the Son of God, if, then prove it. If you are a child of God, then you will do these things, you will have these things, you will have the name. Then you control all these things. But Jesus knows who he truly is and does not have to play this game. And so, friends, Lent invites us into this journey to hold a mirror to ourselves. And maybe if you have a discipline, we might see whether you're successful or not, and if you fail at that, then welcome to grace and mercy. Welcome to the loving arms of God who said, I love you. As we said on Ash Wednesday, God hates nothing that God has made. And in that self-revelation, there's always the chance of improvement. But more importantly than that, it's a mirror to hold to ourselves and see that who we truly are is a beautiful child of God, held safely in God's arms, in the arms of Christ. Christ is the one in for us, went into the desert to face all the real temptations, the full weight of the burden of the devil, and took all of that the cross for our sake. So in dying and rising again the third day, we can know that nothing now separates us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing separates our true souls, our true selves from the presence of God. The journey now is only to learn who we truly are. And so the church offer some sacraments for us to remember that. water that just doesn't wash away, but makes you what you truly are, united to God. We have bread up here to take and eat so you can once again know that it's not just bread, but the presence of who you truly are, the very presence of Christ in you. For you are now the body of Christ, partakers of the grace of God through the love of Jesus. Amen. Speaking of return and renewing, I'm going to introduce a return to an old practice that we have. It is customary in the prayers of intercession to give a moment for the prayers to organically arise from the congregation. So as we get to that section where we name individuals, there's going to be a line that says, especially for those people whom we name aloud or in our hearts. Most of you will remember this tradition. And then there will be a moment of silence for you to do just that. You are invited to think of and name in your hearts those you wish to pray for. And you are also invited, if you so wish, to name that person aloud. And then we will give a moment of silence for that. And then we will continue with our prayer with the words, God in our mercy, and then our response, receive our prayer.
Led by the Spirit, let us turn to God in prayer for the church, the world, and all those in need. Gracious God, speak your word anew among your church. Strengthen it to withstand the temptation to turn inward in fear or complacency. Embolden church institutions to turn from self-preservation toward the self-giving love of Jesus. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Mothering God, speak the word of life into wilderness places and fertile fields. Grant wisdom to your people, that we may quell the urge to strip lands of their resources, and instead preserve first fruits for future generations. God, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
Almighty God, speak a word of wisdom to people in positions of power. Mayors, councils, and tribal leaders, legislatures, judges and juries, presidents and monarchs. Help them discern your voice and follow your guidance, resisting the temptations of the evil one. God, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
Steadfast God, speak words of courage to your people in the wilderness. Protect migrants and refugees on perilous journeys, that they find safe refuge and a portion in the bounty you have given humanity to share. God, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
Loving God, speak gently to all who are alone. Bless lay ministers, home communion teams, and others who attend to those who are overlooked, vulnerable, or lonely, that all find belonging in your love. We pray for all who are ill, especially Joe, Fran, Carol, Misty, Melissa, Annette, George, Vince, Dietmar, Michael, David, Marty, Victor, Corinne, Dan, Gary, Julie, Sandra, Paul, Rhonda. For victims of the fires in California, victims of wars around the world, and of natural and man-made disasters. We pray, and especially we pray, for those people whom we name aloud or in our hearts. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Living God, we give thanks for all the faithful who have crossed the threshold from death to life. Guide us who are living to learn from their wisdom and follow their example. God, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
Receive the prayers of your people and draw all things together in your love. In the name of Jesus, who leads us from death to life.
Amen.
And now we're going to invite the congregation into a brief moment of silence. As a Lenten discipline, let us still our hearts and be silent before the presence of God. For in this quiet, we open our hearts to the presence of God, who is not only heard in words, but also in stillness. Let this be a time to rest in God's love, to lift up what is unspoken, and listen to the voice of the one who speaks in silence. Be still and know that I am God. Amen. May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
I invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you. And I invite us to come back together and to stand for our offering hymn. Let us pray. Gracious provider, you set your immense treasures among us, opening your heart to the world as we prepare to feast on your bountiful love. Deepen our commitment to sharing these treasures with others through our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Grace our table with your presence.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth, burning with justice, peace, and love.
Amen, amen, amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, and the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Friends, this is the table of God for all the people, and all are invited forward to receive communion at this table. In a moment, the usher will come. We're asking you to form a line and then come up and fill our communion rail from right to left. You may receive communion in whichever means feels appropriate to you. You may stand or kneel, just come with your hands extended, and the elements of bread will be given to you. And then when the wine comes around, we ask you to reach in and either take the red cup, which is wine, or the clear cup, which is grape juice. Know that all are welcome here, and there are gluten-free options upon request. If you wish to come and only receive a prayer or a blessing, come with your hands extended. But know that this table is open for all, and all are welcome, and all who come forward will receive the gift of God given to you. Amen.
Bless the holy name.
keep us in grace.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Generous host, you have shared your feast with us and made us new. Send us now to set tables of love and grace in your communities, that your liberating love might nourish the world into freedom. In the name of the crucified one, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Friends, we pause just briefly for some announcements, and I encourage you to take a look at the Word for the Week. Lots of events coming up this week. First and foremost is on Wednesday, we will have both an at-noon prayer service in here. It will be a contemplative prayer service. We have a little bit of a conflict of interest with Welka. Welka meets at 12:30, but that first session might be short, so you can come to both. At 6, we'll have soup and bread downstairs for our Lenten Wednesday evening meal. And we currently need some sign-ups for soup and bread, or there'll be lots of hungry people downstairs. And then at 7, we'll meet up here for golden evening prayer service. Also would like to announce that I took the liberty of compiling all my worship articles into a little booklet. So if you have a box, mailbox, you got that today. If you don't have a box, you would like it, we have plenty to hand out. We intend to hand one out to every visitor so that they can experience, if they have questions, they can understand what we do and why we do it. And then finally, we would like to remind that we are accepting donations for the fellowship hour after service. So we have some goodies and some cookies you want to donate for our parish life committee to use during that period. We would be greatly thankful. With that being said, let us prepare our hearts for the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon your face with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
I want Jesus.
for others as God cares for you.
Thanks be to God.